Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I am joined by Jay Molinar, who is the founder of Sentient Sales Technology. And I'm incredibly excited to talk through this because he's come up through sales and is now building his own marketing programs. And I'm just excited to kind of hear from more from the sales perspective on how can marketing better support sellers in the context of an ABM program. So Jay, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, great. Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Well, let's go ahead and just dive right in. And as we think through some of your past experiences, I'm just curious, you know, when a marketing team is thinking about building an ABM program and they come to sales, kind of, I don't know if you've had this same experience, but it's been like, we've got this great idea. We're going to do all these different things. And it's going to be this massive program. You're going to make a ton of money. Let's get started. And I'm just curious, like, how have marketers generally approached you when it comes to actually building out ABM programs to get your buy-in?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important. I think sales and marketing have to work together on that. And so we've really, usually marketing does come with some good ideas. I'll give them credit on that side. I think what, you know, sales looks at is we're close to those conversations a lot, and we've had a lot of conversations around challenges and what people are looking for. So try to really tie in those repeatable kind of conversations that we have into the ABM program, right? So you're touching on the consistent challenges, the pain points, the desired success, the desired outcomes that your potential customers are looking for. So I think that's where sales really adds a lot of value, because we've probably had 100 of those conversations before we even think about having an ABM campaign. And we're honestly kind of running our own micro ABM campaigns too. If you have a target industry that you're going after, or a target region, and you're segmenting all of your audience, you're going after decision makers, you're going after the people right under your decision makers. And so you kind of know what hits with those people and who to kind of talk to first as the entry point. So I think that's where we can really work well together and kind of complement each other's skill sets.
Yeah, I've always loved the phrase. I don't remember where I even picked it up, but it's just somewhere along the way, someone said, the data is just, or the anecdata is just as important as the hard data. And I think what sales mm-hmm. often provides in the context of these ABM programs is, well, I watched somebody's face as we delivered the way that we have planned to have the message, and it clearly didn't make any impact. And I've also watched the face of somebody where we tried to say something and they immediately said, oh, that's it. You get it. And as much as I love the data that we get through our analytics platforms, there's nothing quite like seeing someone's physical appearance change when a message lands.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think that just, you know, marketing doesn't have that access to people a lot of times. And when you're talking about prospects, you sales is right at the forefront. So we're having those conversations and we're trying to pry out those challenges. So, you know, I think if you can work closely with your salespeople and your marketing people and kind of bring out those really kind of repeatable kind of conversations and turn that into marketing content, that's huge. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was like, yeah, I mean, take that conversation I just had with you and turn it into a marketing piece, you know, because you've just hit like all these different challenges that a wide audience is going to have. So if you can take those, not only just the kind of more just here's my problem, but the emotional side of that too, turn that into content, that's going to really, that should be a really strong ABM campaign, right, for that audience.
Yeah, I mean, quick tangent, one of my favorite ABM programs is just called the FAQ ABM. Like, you just think through what are the frequently asked questions that we get all the time around a specific product in a specific vertical. You make a vertical specific landing page and you mm-hmm. create that FAQ at the bottom that links out to all the content, and that fuels your entire outbound program. And it's just, it's not a super complex program, but it's just like all marketing is supposed to do is make sure people come in way more educated
for sellers.
Yeah.
So if you can just address the frequently asked questions before they're ever asked, you're helping your buyers become more educated. So I love that idea of taking conversations from your sales team and just creating great collateral around it that you can then educate the market at scale around. So thanks for digging into from a seller's perspective. I'm curious, as you are building your company, the playbook you submitted was really around a lot of like very foundational social selling. So I'm just curious, LinkedIn is a massive platform. There's tons of sales and marketing and revenue people on LinkedIn. So I'm curious, as you're thinking through building your own organization, like how do you find your audience?
That's a great question. And it's challenging because there is a lot of noise, and there's other, you know, products that say they do some things, or they maybe do a wider array of things than they actually do. And so you kind of got to, I'm trying to niche down and be very, very specific around what I do, because in the end, kind of solve my own problem. So I know other people have that problem. It's just finding the right size of organization that's starting to experience that problem and wants to solve it in a cost-effective way. And that's really my message. And so it's, you know, going after kind of the people who are running marketing at a certain size organization, usually 50 people or less, the VP of sales or head of sales there. I talk to founders too, who are just starting to scale and just starting to think about like, how can I put together a cost-effective sales and marketing plan that leverages more technology now? Because we're in a very different funding environment than we were before. You know, there was a lot of money floating around a couple of years back, and now it's getting harder. So people are looking to extend runway and be a little more cost-effective. So, I mean, newsletters, super cheap and easy to do, right? I mean, video content is so easy to create now, and talking about just those specific little pain points, right? I mean, it can be a 30-second to a minute and a half video just about a pain point and how you solve that pain point. You're going to touch some people and you're going to really connect with some people. Those are super cheap, easy ways to do this. And as long as you're talking to your right audience, I think that stuff works, and you drive them over to a landing page or your website that has some more interesting content on it and educational content. But that's really what I've seen work. I can talk about the other piece too of, I think there's the gap that is the challenge I always see is, how do I take someone who's raised their hand and asked for a demo, more information, something like that, and connect with them really quickly? And that's what I've seen is really the biggest challenge in all of this. I think marketing for the most part can drive interest. Sales can, you know, work deals and close deals. It's just capturing that peak demand at the right time. That's really the biggest challenge. And things have to be top of mind for people. And if you wait sometimes 5 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours, 6 hours, they have other problems now to solve. And they're like, I'll get back to that in a week or two. So that's kind of the core of Sentient, is solving that problem of, you drive all that demand to your website, they raise their hand and say they want more. It's connecting with them immediately, gathering some information and getting it over to sales. So booking an appointment for sales to move forward. It's like an instant SDR kind of function is what I'm trying to solve for.
Yeah, I mean, again, finding the audience is always the most difficult part. And then obviously you guys are having lots of conversations, so creating micro content that's easy to engage with. And I'm just curious, as you're talking about that demand capture component, again, there's lots of ways that people are trying to solve that. You just outlined like to some extent, automated SDR. I'm seeing tons of people actually have Qualified just released their inbound SDR. That's an AI tool. Sixth Sense has got their AI prospecting tool. There's lots of tooling. And then also just people like trying to scale up an SDR function. So I'm just curious on that front, as you're looking at that demand capture. So again, somebody's hit your website, they know that you exist, they know the viable problems that you solve. How are you solving for that exact demand capture functionality?
Yeah, so I have always been a keep it simple type person, right? So I've used a lot of tools out there over the years, and I find some of them to be useful, some of them not to be useful. And I found that what the gap really that was, if I'm willing to fill out a contact form, present, give you my information, like I'm a hot prospect, you better get in front of me immediately. And that's where the breakdown usually is. And so the way I solve that is, you fill out contact information, you have the option to immediately have a live chat, receive a phone call, have a text message, and immediately have a conversation with a system that's just going to ask you some very basic questions. We're not replacing the salesperson or anything like that. We're just going to gather the basic information because right now it's top of mind for you, and ask you those right questions. And then ask to book a meeting. Usually, you know, that's the call to action 90% of the time is book a meeting. It could be, here's a free trial, here's a coupon code or something for a discount. But usually we want to get you over to sales and get you into the process. And that's where I've seen success. I think that that's the simplest way to solve that problem. And I don't know, I mean, I've looked at, you know, those de-anonymization of website tools and used them in the past. And data can be a little wonky at times. It's not perfect, but I think you have to use a lot of retargeting and a lot of complex kind of going back out over LinkedIn or going back out over email to get those people. What I'm trying to do is say, get your content really good. Get your educational materials really good. So when someone goes to your website, they can understand exactly what you're doing. They can understand the value you're going to do. And they're going to raise their hand and say, yes, I want to move forward in the process and learn more from sales or whoever is in the next step to kind of close that deal. So that's where I'm solving the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more that the website should just be the centralized location of, hey, what are we actually doing? So I'm just curious from your perspective of, again, we've found our audience. We've identified a couple of different tactics that we can use to educate outside of our website. Our website should be a great education tool. I'm just curious from your perspective, how you drive more traffic to the site. And even in that context, are you segmenting and creating like personalized content based on audiences? Like, how do you actually use your website to then hit directly to where the audience is looking for? So they do that. They actually do submit the form.
Yeah. And I can always improve. I'll start with that, you know, but I do try to have, there's a couple industries that I focus on right now, which are B2B tech and independent insurance are really the two main ones with a couple ancillary ones. But I do try to drive some interesting content and segment those folks. And when I am targeting them either on a social media platform, usually it's LinkedIn, maybe a little bit of Alignable if it's smaller kind of businesses. But, you know, segmenting the type of content that I'm driving toward them. I don't do a lot of email stuff right now. I do a lot of content things and trying to just kind of put out good content for people that's like short and snappy. And so that's driving people over to the website. I track the visitors, and as soon as I put a piece of content out, you see a pretty good spike into the traffic, and then tracking the different pages that they go to. It's pretty easy to see what the journey is like. And that last piece is just that conversion piece. So making sure that you have good call to actions across your website strategically placed. And again, I can always improve on this and or try to test different ways of doing it. But that's really like the simplest way. And it's very cost effective. I mean, you don't need massive amounts of money to do this, right? I mean, you need what, Loom or Veed or, you know, one or both of those tools, Canva to just do some stuff, maybe the free version of Pexel. And you know, it's really inexpensive. And so there's really cost-effective ways to drive, you know, traffic to your website. And then you got to be ruthless about, is your website good or not? And, you know, I see areas of improvement from my personal website, and I'm working with some other folks that drive massive amounts of traffic to their website, but they don't convert. You know, and so there's obviously an issue with some of the content there not being as interesting as it should be. But hopefully that makes sense in terms of what, you know, trying to do.
Again, it sounds like you're putting content in very publicly accessible places. And then after you put out content, you just track and see the actual traffic that comes through. And then just doing some sense of a journey map based on your website to understand, okay, they hit this page and they go to this page. Like, how are people actually navigating our website? I think it's super smart. Surprisingly, and we're coming up on over 80 episodes, no one's talked about like actually using the tooling to understand how someone navigates your website. Because at the end of the day, that's truly it. I mean, a lot of EBM programs will go to one-to-one landing pages or one to few, but often that's not it. So ideally, I'm actually using a one-to-one page, hopefully to fully educate, but I imagine that there's going to be further questions and they may bounce to somewhere else. And it'd be really interesting, but just look at from that one-to-one or that one-to-few, or even just a homepage, like we are sending traffic to the website. How are they effectively navigating the site? And are they taking the path that we want or assume that they will? So that's a great call out. I'm just curious, as you've now obviously been creating a lot of content, and again, fully agree. I make the joke that I've been running a $32 a month ABM program called podcasting. It doesn't have to be super expensive, but I'm just curious, it sounds like a very content led ABM or outbound program. Like, what have been some of the roadblocks or unexpected hurdles that you've had to overcome as you've been implementing this?
I think the challenge is, you know, I've refrained from using like a ChatGPT to write stuff because I feel like it just isn't worthwhile. I mean, honestly, there's a couple pieces on there that are written by ChatGPT, but I think it's just finding, you know, a little bit of time and just kind of sitting down and making sure that what you're writing is going to be somewhat relevant. And sometimes it's not, it's just not going to hit the right people in the right way, but it's something just to put out there. And I think, you know, the challenge that I found is trying to be authentic without being giving away too, like, you know, being too personal about it, right? Like you want to be authentic, you want to connect to people, you don't want to be too personal with what you're writing about. And so trying to just kind of think about, I tend to look at past experiences and talk about a lot of those past experiences, particularly in the newsletter. Hey, I remember, you know, I've been around the block a few times now, and it's, you know, I try to look at old things and kind of talk about how it's could affect and could, how it could be similar or different to how, what things are going on now or where it could go and things like that. So being authentic is a challenge, but also I think a positive in the end, because people try to get to know who you are, and maybe they like you, maybe they don't, but they'll unsubscribe if you don't, which is fine. So I don't have a lot of unsubscribes yet for my newsletter particularly. So that's good. That's been a challenge. And I think the other challenge is I have a spreadsheet of things that I want to put out for content. It's just getting to it all is really a challenge too. And refraining from using like the ChatGPTs of the world to just crank out kind of boring, you know, tier, like kind of surface level stuff that isn't really going to kind of speak to anybody. So those are my two main challenges right now.
Yeah. I went to a conference where somebody was talking through how to use ChatGPT for content creation. And he used it as a, like, how do I have someone to converse with, but it should never be, I put something in and I immediately copy and paste it, because people enjoy content because of its unique perspective and its authenticity, where ChatGPT is quite literally the sum of the average of the internet. So if you want incredibly average content, that is what ChatGPT does incredibly well, is incredibly average summarized content, versus people would listen to somebody because of the unique perspective, and ChatGPT has zero unique perspectives because that's not its design. So it's that framing for me has been incredibly helpful, of just more workshopping and essentially having a writing soundboard versus a content creation piece. So anyway, I, you know, as we're wrapping up here, I'm just curious, have there been, what are some of the results that you can share just from this very simple, essentially listen to our sellers, hear the feedback, find the right audiences, and answer their questions proactively through not crazy difficult mechanisms for actually creating new content?
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of the results are really good, and some of the people that are using my platform have seen great results. And I had one guy who put the platform on and in 3 hours had his first meeting booked in his calendar, which is pretty awesome. You know, I think that, again, it goes back to, if you're looking for real buyers of your product, they're willing to jump through a few hoops, right? And a few hoops meaning I'm willing to give you my contact information, I'm willing to answer 3 to 5 questions about what I'm trying to do, and I'm willing to click on a calendar link to book a calendar, or, you know, have a conversation to figure out when I can have an appointment. So like those types of things are important to people. They're willing to do it if it's, you know, if it's important to them, and that's who you're trying to find. I don't really care about, from a sales perspective, I want high quality leads only. I don't really want the low quality people that are going to drag their feet and not be ready and waste my time. And so those two kind of pieces are really where the success has been. And I've been able to drive a lot of, I don't have the exact number in my head, but, you know, a lot of conversions and conversations through that, just someone's willing to put their hand up and say, hey, I'm willing to at least learn more about what you're trying to do, see if it's a fit. And yeah, and I think that, you know, from a perspective of pricing's always been an issue. Now it's more of an issue now than ever. And our pricing is just pay as you go. So you only get charged when you use it and when a lead interacts with it. So that's been a huge selling point too. If you have one lead or 1,000 leads a month, you're only paying for what is actually being used. So that's super important to people. And that's a real kind of closer for a lot of people. They're like, how can I not try it? You know, so the win rate on inbound has been really strong.
That's great. Last couple questions for you. Just as you're thinking through building an ABM program, I mean, are there any other pieces of advice you'd share to somebody that's getting started for the first time?
I think, looking back at old companies that I've worked in, I haven't really done this yet myself, but some kind of out of the box stuff is really can really attract people's attention. There's so much stuff that's similar out there. And so if you can think about if you're targeting your own kind of audience, I don't want to say goofy, but being a little out of the box, attracting attention in a unique way. Like I remember I wrote an article a while back about just how we have to think more like Mr. Beast now than other people, right? Because there's so much interest in good content and unique content. I mean, you talk about some of these really good social media influencers, they think a lot about even just their thumbnail, So thinking about how can I get a good, attractive thumbnail? How can I find something that's a little bit outside the box that'll drive some interest and maybe someone thinking like, hey, maybe this isn't, I don't know if this is right for me or not, but I'm so interested now because of the thumbnail, the title, some kind of image that's in there. I'm going to be willing at least to go watch the first minute of somebody's thing or the first 30 seconds to see if I can catch the attention of somebody. And I think you really got to work on making that first kind of 5 to 30 seconds super interesting to people. Like grab their attention, make sure you're talking about something that's really interesting at the first kind of couple seconds, because that's where you win or lose people. I'm sure other people have talked about that in the past, but I've studied that a lot and I'm trying more and more to grab people's attention early and kind of draw them into to what I'm trying to produce.
Yeah, I had a friend that sent over some shoes when I launched Scrappy. And he said, you should totally buy these. So for anybody that's can see, these are my conference shoes. They're
is great.
just ridiculous. They're orange and green Converse with the most ridiculous fuzzy laces. And they're the limited edition Willy Wonka Converse.
Nice.
But they perfectly match my brand colors. For anyone that's watched this podcast or seen me on video ever, I have a neon sign. I have a light behind me that's green and that's orange. Like these are the things that I just, again, quite simply couldn't agree more because they help somebody to stand out. And I look ridiculous. I have a Scrappy ABM hat and a Scrappy ABM shirt and everything is branded all the time, but it helps me to stand out. And that's everything that
It
I'm
does.
trying to do. It's just like, how do I become synonymous with the colors green and orange? And if I can do that, then I'll be memorable. That's it.
No, totally. I even looked at your website before. I was looking at the old podcast, and I mean, it stands out. The colors stand out. The way it's set up stands out really well. So, you're on point.
Just that, and then final, actually really funny. I think about this for conferences. I wear really bright colors at conferences, so I'm very hard to miss. Like literally, how do I think through in every touch point of the experience being bright and standing out? I just love that call out of, yeah, I mean, it's really easy to disengage. If you can do something that will actually help you to differentiate and to stand out just a little bit, you're going to be more likely to actually be interested in having a conversation because you're clearly a little bit different.
Yeah,
So
it's
awesome.
gonna work. I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of people coming up to your conferences too.
That I do primarily for the shoes. It's always funny. So, Jay, thank you so much for joining me. If you want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, Jason Molinar, founder of Sentient Sales Technology, or just go to the website sentientst.com. And I even have a Scrappy landing page if you wanted to go to sentientst.com/scrappyabm. You can check out the landing page there and have a free trial and just walk through the fill out the form and see what it's like and give it a shot.
I love it. That's super smart for tracking purposes to see if people actually listen in. So thanks for joining me. Thanks for sharing that last little tip. And I'm probably gonna steal that for my own stuff. But yeah, again, go check out Jay on LinkedIn, go check out the website. This has been Scrappy ABM. We'll see you in the next one. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.